Time for Sunday worship from Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church, 620 East Broadway, Wisconsin Dells. Bethany Evangelical is a member of the ELCA Synod. Today's broadcast is presented by your locally owned and operated mobile travel mart and pharmacy at 802 Broadway, Wisconsin Dells. This program is a pre-recorded portion of this morning's 8 o'clock service.
Good morning. It's so great to be back with you all. If you didn't hear, we got stuck in an ice storm on our way to North Dakota. A lot of people have been asking how our trip went. That's how it went. We ended up staying in a hotel for a night, but we got there, we got back, and I'm so happy to be back with you all. So welcome on this Baptism of Our Lord Sunday. Yesterday was Epiphany, so hope you did all of your house blessings and Epiphany celebrations as we celebrated the wise kings coming and seeing Jesus. So today we have the baptism of our Lord. Skip ahead about 30 years is where we're at in the timeline. So it's going to be a great day. And with that, we are going to start with a remembrance of our, or a thanksgiving of our baptism. I'm not going to spray water on you quite yet. A few notes about the service, though, before we really get into it. It is a new year, so we are trying a few new things. We have changed our setting. We were on setting 4, and now we're trying setting 3, if that means anything to any of you. So the liturgy is going to be a little bit different. So if you are used to being on autopilot for Sunday morning, I encourage you to not be on autopilot. Change it back to, what's the opposite of autopilot? Manual? Yeah, change it back to manual. Be in your books a little bit more. So it'll be great. I invite you to please stand as we begin with our thanksgiving for baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people, Israel, from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as siblings, as daughters and sons, as children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains us, sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. We continue our worship with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, creator of darkness and light, word of truth, wind sweeping over the waters. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God, our rock and refuge, we pour out our hearts before you. We have known you, but have not always loved you. We have wounded one another and sinned against you. We have not always recognized the Holy Spirit dwelling in each of us. Remember your covenant. Renew your creation. Restore us that we might proclaim your good news to all. Amen. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God has spoken. The time of grace is now. In Jesus, the reign of God has come near. By the authority of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. You are God's beloved. Amen. We join together in hymn number 301, Bright and Glorious is the Sky.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Telling Pastor Joseph this morning that this is one of my favorite verses. The first reading today is from Genesis 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The Psalms this morning is Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of thunder.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees worth and strips of forest bare. In the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord that is enthroned above the flood, the Lord that is enthroned as king forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessing of peace. The second reading this morning is from Acts 19. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. So ends the reading.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And then suddenly, and without any warning, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. That's what we are told happens next in the gospel reading. The next verse, the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And it is in this wilderness where Jesus faces the temptations, and all of this is immediately following his baptism. Now, knowing all of this is important to understanding the full breadth of this story that we are given today. See, we got a similar text a few weeks ago as we started Advent, where the focus was more on John and the baptism that he provides, this baptism of repentance. And his pointing to Christ in his proclamation. So we aren't going to spend too much time talking about that today. Instead, we're going to spend a little bit more time looking at the second part of the gospel text, the part of Jesus' baptism and what it means to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit and a claiming by God the Father in Jesus Christ means and the impact that it has on all of us. For many of us, this isn't an unfamiliar story. But I want to spend a little bit more time in thinking about and possibly even deconstructing this story for some of us. Now, if you're anything like me, when you hear the story of Jesus' baptism, what you are picturing is a fairly calm river with Jesus about, you know, ankle deep, puffy white clouds overhead, and a majestic booming voice, and finally a sweet dove that's floating down to sit on Jesus' shoulder like he's Snow White. But let's take a closer look at the text. For it says that when this happens, what Jesus sees is not this image that we have come up with in our minds and share in Sunday school, but instead what Jesus sees is the heavens are torn apart. The Greek word here being shikomenes, or something like that, translates to being torn, divided, opened, or some even translate it as a schism in the heavens. The heavens are divided. There is this schism, and no matter how you cut it, this isn't a subtle act. But then, what does this dramatic event look like to Jesus? Perhaps it is a storm that breaks out, and the sound of God is echoed in the thunder. This voice of God that we are told in the psalm breaks the cedars and shatters the oaks, rain pouring down, or any other number of things. Now, it's interesting that we would get this text paired up with Dennis's favorite verses from Genesis 1, 1 through 5, because there what we are getting is the beginning of the account of making order out of chaos, where creation begins. When the heavens were first torn open so that all life on earth may begin. This is the first time that the heavens are torn open and God interacts with the world in a way to start all of creation. And here again, we have the heavens tearing open at Jesus' baptism. And we are once again getting a creation, a new creation at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is the starting point of Jesus going out to heal the sick and proclaim a message of grace. When this Spirit then descends upon him from the heavens, it is the start of this new creation for all people that is promised in and through Jesus Christ. And if this is the start of this new and exciting thing, then why does it sound so dang scary? Maybe that's why we like coming up with this image of the dove floating down in the puffy white clouds. Because wouldn't you think that it would have gone more smoothly? His ministry starts with a division in the heavens and then being driven out immediately into the wilderness. When we start new things, there is often a sense of excitement and joy and maybe a little bit of anxiety as it begins. We have this expectation, though, that we can lean into the joy and the excitement of a thing and it will be easy to us because that which brings joy and excitement should just be easy, right? But that's not always the case. Not with Jesus, and certainly not with us. It takes work, and there are going to be bumps in the road and rough times ahead. New beginnings are hard, and they are often going to have rocky bits that we have to get through together. Yet, we are promised in our baptisms, in our own receiving of the Holy Spirit of God, that we are given a chance each day to start anew as we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Now, I imagine as Jesus is out in the wilderness and facing this new beginning, that there is one temptation that is more tempting than any others. And this is probably me projecting on Jesus a little bit, but I wonder what that temptation looked like to say, what if, Jesus, you just don't do any of it? What if you were to find an easy way out and let somebody else do it? Jesus knows that in this ministry there is going to be pain and there is going to be suffering. Jesus knows what the end is. He knows where this is all leading. And how easy would it have been to just not and avoid all of that pain and all of that suffering? But as we know, nobody else could have done it, and nobody else could do it besides Jesus. I think this is the same temptation that many of us fall into in this ministry as well. We fall into this trying to negotiate with God or with ourselves that we don't actually need to do the work because somebody else will pick up the slack, certainly. Or that we hear our fellow baptized children crying out against the injustice in the world, that somebody else, but certainly not I, will fight for justice, equality, and equity. We hear this cry, or we see the hard things that need to be done to continue Christ's ministry, and we see that the easier option would be to just not. But here we are, dear siblings. This is a new year, and there are many exciting things to look forward to in this ministry. We are standing on the precipice of a new thing. But the work cannot be done by one single person or by just a small group of people. For this ministry to truly succeed, it needs to be an act of the community, of the body of Christ. Next week, we are going to be welcoming some of our newest members into the church, celebrating with them, celebrating the growth of this ministry. And then in a few weeks after, we are going to be holding our annual meeting. This is a time to work together in our envisioning of what our ministry is going to look like in the next coming year or years to come. We are called and gathered together to be the church. As we continue to discover and rediscover who we are as people of God, let us not forget that we are only able to do this because of the grace that is found in God and in Jesus Christ. God has placed on us or placed us in these relationships in a community together to build one another up and to further spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what we are doing here. That is our biggest goal, is to share in this love, dear siblings. That is what it is all about. That we as the church can be in the world so that the love of God can be known through our works, through our acts, and our deeds in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us join together in hymn number 423, Shall We Gather at the River?
Your locally owned and operated Mobile Travel Mart and Pharmacy at 802 Broadway, Wisconsin Dells, has presented Sunday worship from Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church at 620 East Broadway, Wisconsin Dells. Member ELCA Synod, this program was recorded earlier this morning and a portion of the 8 o'clock service. Time now for Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The signs of forgiveness in this world come from the cross. Forgiveness offered to us like an engagement ring from God. Will you receive it? Will you put it on and wear it? Will you be set free to follow God's Son and pray, "Our Father, forgive us as we forgive"?
Dr. Michael Ziegler this week on The Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Is forgiveness about closure or is it about opening? Is forgiveness always unconditional? Dr. Michael Ziegler explores what forgiveness is and what it isn't.
The signs of forgiveness in this world come from the cross. Forgiveness offered to us like an engagement ring from God. Will you receive it? Will you put it on and wear it? Will you be set free to follow God's Son and pray, "Our Father, forgive us as we forgive"?
We begin the new year with a series of messages on forgiveness today on the Lutheran Hour. Later, author Dan Pavola discusses his book, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. Hi, Mark Eicher here. Glad to be with you this first week of 2024, and thank you for your continuing support. To learn how your gifts and prayers help in bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now, with a message titled, As We Forgive, here is our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
The morning sun glinted off the glass of the driver's side window, but I could still see Mr. Ben's face as he passed us in his pickup truck. This happened recently when we were in my hometown visiting my parents over the holidays. I was driving with my mother and father in the car, my wife and children there with me. No one else saw Mr. Ben pass, but I did. The friendly exchange we shared lasted only a second, but I have been replaying that moment in my mind, the knowing glance he gave me. I've known Mr. Ben for going on 30 years now, and I've never seen him offer me anything less than a warm smile. Even in the fall of 1996, when he learned that it was me, along with some of my friends who had trespassed his property and toilet papered the trees in front of his house. Once I knew that he knew that it was me, I was ashamed every time I saw him. I did my best to avoid him, but this was practically impossible because we went to the same church. And that's when I saw him just recently, on the way to church. And maybe it's a reflection of God's sense of humor that even now, 30 years later, I'm still running into him, to Mr. Ben. And it's always the same knowing smile, not vengeful, not resentful, just the gracious understanding of an older man who knows what it's like to be a stupid, self-absorbed 17-year-old kid. And who knows what it's like to forgive and be forgiven. Everyone knows something about forgiveness. Like me, you have done wrong to another person and have hoped to be forgiven. You've suffered from someone else's wrongdoing and you've struggled to forgive. You know something about forgiveness. We're beginning a new year, the time of resolutions. So what if, aside from the standard resolutions about exercising more and getting more organized, what if you and I included forgiveness as a resolution? Something like, I resolve to be a more forgiving person. And when I'm in the wrong, I resolve to admit it and ask for forgiveness. But why? Why is this a worthy resolution? For starters, we could appeal to our mental health. Losing weight is usually good for you, so also would shedding the excess guilt and resentment that is the alternative to forgiving and being forgiven. Carrying around that soul-crushing guilt, carrying the toxin of resentment and bitterness in your system, it's not good for you. So let's say you and I make this our resolution to be more forgiving when we're hurt and to ask for forgiveness when we've hurt someone else. Now, what motivates me to make this resolution? Partly, it is the mental health benefits, the emotional well-being, but also because I'm a follower of Jesus. And I'm learning that if something is important to Jesus, it ought to be important to me also. And forgiveness is clearly important to Jesus. You can hear it in the famous prayer that he taught his followers to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Right there in the middle of the prayer, you find forgiveness. Our Father, Jesus teaches us to say to God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus taught his followers that forgiveness should be at the heart of all of our relationships with God and with other people. Jesus also gave his followers this special meal to share, the Lord's Supper, we call it. We're supposed to practice it regularly in memory of him and of what's important to him. And right there in the middle of this meal, when we eat the bread and drink the wine and we hear the words of Jesus repeated, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you, because this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. If you're looking for a resolution, forgiveness could be it. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, or if you're somewhere on the fringe of following him, this could still be a good resolution, even if only for the sake of your emotional health and mental well-being. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about what forgiveness is and what it isn't. What's involved with forgiving and being forgiven? We need to clarify this because there are some half-truths about forgiveness. Let's talk through two of them. Two half-truths. One half-truth about forgiveness is that it's unconditional. Another half-truth is that forgiveness offers closure. Before we talk about the other one, let's talk about the second one first, that forgiveness offers closure. You hear people say that sometimes, right? I need closure. She's just looking for some closure. Now, it is true that giving or receiving forgiveness can give a sense of closure because forgiveness aims to set you free from the bitterness that would blind you, set you free from the guilt that would cripple you. It's true. It's just not the whole truth because forgiveness is not just about you and your feelings. Forgiveness is given and received in the context of a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, a family, a church, a partnership with neighbors, coworkers, teammates. That's the proper context of forgiveness. So forgiveness is less about closing and more about opening, like an open heart surgery to clear a blocked artery. Forgiveness aims to give life to a dead or a dying relationship. Forgiveness is about getting closure on the trespasses of the past, but it's more than that. It has to be more because there are ways that you could look for closure without forgiveness. You could just try to forget about the trespass. You could pretend like it didn't happen. You could act as if that person no longer exists. You could stop talking to them, stop thinking about them, avoid them altogether. Cutting a person out of your life is a way to look for closure, but it's not forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't just therapy for better mental health because forgiveness isn't self-focused. It always involves at least two persons. The person who was trespassed against and the one who committed the trespass, the toilet papered and the toilet paperer who crossed the boundary and violated another person's personhood. And forgiveness is the path to repair that breach of trust. Forgiveness is an exchange that takes each person out of themselves and toward the other. The one who committed the trespass starts to consider the hurt, the anger, the resentment the other person might feel and wants them to be free of those toxins. And the one who was trespassed against starts to consider the guilt, the embarrassment, the shame that the trespasser carries and wants them to be free of that burden. Forgiveness isn't self-care. It's an exchange. It's the close of one chapter and the start of another, a bigger story that helps each person see the other in a new light. Even without reference to God or Jesus or another religious tradition, there are strong social reasons to seek forgiveness rather than just closure. For example, try imagining a world in which every time you were trespassed against or you were caught trespassing, you looked for closure either by getting even with that person or by avoiding them altogether. A world like that would be unimaginable because being human, we need other people. It's not good to be alone all the time. We were made for relationships, and keeping any relationship intact for the long haul would be impossible without forgiveness. So we're stuck. We need relationships to thrive, and we need forgiveness to repair relationships with imperfect people. And that's also why it's not quite true to say that forgiveness is unconditional. That's our second half-truth about forgiveness, that it's unconditional. It's only half-true because forgiveness is always conditioned by relationships, because forgiveness serves relationships. It's like how an engine is conditioned by the car it drives. It's like how words are conditioned by the language they speak, or how an engagement ring is conditioned by the marriage it proposes. So also forgiveness is conditioned by relationships. But why do people, and Christians especially, why do we sometimes say that forgiveness is unconditional? I think what we're trying to say is that forgiveness isn't a calculation. Forgiveness isn't saying, I agree to not hold this against you because I'm counting on the benefits I'm going to get from you in return. That's not forgiveness. That's just manipulation. That's getting even by other means. Real forgiveness isn't calculated for self-benefit, but it is conditioned by relationships. Go back to the engagement ring. For the ring to count as an engagement, there must be a marriage in the works. So also, for an exchange to count as forgiveness, there must be a relationship to support. To review, forgiveness isn't just closure, because it aims to write a new chapter and a bigger story between the trespasser and the trespassed. And forgiveness isn't unconditional because there are strings attached, so to speak. Not puppet strings, but something like the lifeline between alpine mountain climbers, the ties between family members, the bonds of friendship and partnership and companionship. Living a meaningful life would be impossible without these ties, and keeping them intact and strong would be impossible without forgiveness. Because forgiveness alone offers a way forward that doesn't seek revenge, but also doesn't simply condone or ignore the trespass. And that's why forgiveness alone offers freedom from guilt and resentment. And all this could be said without appeal to a specific religious tradition. But if you ask why is the world filled with so many signs pointing us to forgiveness? As a follower of Jesus, I am learning that it's this way because God, the Father of Jesus, the creator of the universe, is a relational God who created us for relationships. Even if you're not sure what you believe about Jesus, consider what it would be like in the event that his story in the Bible is true. The story goes something like this. Before Jesus was born as a human being, he existed eternally with God, his Father, forever, in the love of the Holy Spirit. The Father, with the Son and the Spirit, created the universe. Not because he needs to. Not because he was bored and hoped we would entertain him. Not because he selfishly calculated the benefits we might give him. No. God created out of abundance, out of the overflow of joy, out of love. God, the Father, created all things by His Spirit through His Son as a gift for His Son, because God is overflowing with love and wants to share His life with the universe He's created. But then we, His human creatures, tried to sneak in and take it for ourselves. We crossed the boundary. We violated God's love. We trespassed against God. So God, as the injured party, has a choice. He can get even and make us pay. He can cut us out of His life. Or He can move toward us with forgiveness. And the heart of the Christian message is that God, in Jesus Christ, has stubbornly chosen the way of forgiveness. A way that led Him to a cross, to a crucifixion. Jesus was crucified because He willingly took on the conditions of a relationship with us, with trespassers. He didn't sit at the window, arms crossed, eyeing us resentfully. No. He turned toward us with a gracious smile. He came down from heaven and took on the conditions of our humanity. He never trespassed against anyone, but He put Himself in a place where He could be trespassed against, injured, harmed, killed. And it all led to a cross. And the Bible says that there, in a way that you and I could never calculate, Jesus paid for all the damages done, for all the injuries sustained, all the trespasses committed, for the entire cleanup operation. Now, as the Creator, God could have snapped His fingers and made it all go away. God could have erased us and started over with a whole new universe, or millions of other universes. But instead, He freely chose to come under the conditions of a real relationship with His creation. He chose to marry Himself to us. He chose to offer us a new chapter to this hellish story we'd been writing for ourselves. And so He gave up His Son to die for us. The cross of Jesus Christ is closure on this chapter of human guilt and resentment and estrangement that would drag us all down to hell. But God raised Jesus from the dead to open a new future, to write a new chapter in the bigger story of His life with us. The signs of forgiveness in this world come from the Creator's cross. Forgiveness offered to us like an engagement ring from God. Will you receive it? Will you put it on and wear it? Will you be set free to follow God's Son and pray, "Our Father, forgive us as we forgive"? Could this be your New Year's resolution? Being a more forgiving and forgiven person? Wearing God's forgiveness like a ring on your finger, never taking it off, appreciating all its facets? If so, I invite you to continue listening with us over the next several weeks in this series on forgiveness. It'll be good for us. But like starting a new diet or exercise regimen, it may not be easy. Not every exchange of forgiveness is as relatively painless as the toilet papering trespass I started with. You may have been unspeakably hurt by someone you trusted and can't even imagine forgiving them. You may have done someone unspeakable harm and can't imagine ever being forgiven by them. Or maybe the person you harmed is dead or gone and can't forgive you even if you asked. Or maybe the person who harmed you is unrepentant and won't ask. In this life, the forgiveness that we share, that we give and receive from others, is incomplete. And maybe that could be part of what Jesus means when he teaches us to pray, "Forgive us as we forgive," as in, forgive our imperfect forgiveness. But it also means that our forgiveness is a work in progress, because we are learning to see ourselves and others in the light of Jesus. Jesus promises to return and raise the dead. He says that no one is too far gone. No one is unforgivable, because his grace is unconditional. Unconditional because God's graciousness is his character. It's just who he is. The man I mentioned at the beginning, Mr. Ben, he is for me a reflection of God's gracious character. You know, I didn't apologize to Ben right after the incident. I didn't even offer to help him clean up his yard. He did it all on his own. Mostly I just tried to avoid him because I was embarrassed and ashamed. It took me several years to come around and ask him for forgiveness. But even before that, he never stopped being gracious toward me, as God is toward you. I don't know Mr. Ben all that well, but I know where he lives, and I know that he's got a lot of nice tall trees in his front yard, and I know that we have the same Lord, and we pray the same prayer. Forgive us as we grow and struggle and learn to forgive those who trespass against us. Let's pray that prayer together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, on-demand audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org.
Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. But you alone can grant us grace to
Now back to our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thanks, Mark. Today I'm visiting with Dr. Dan Pavela. He's a professor at Concordia University in Wisconsin and teaches classes about the Bible and living the Christian faith. Welcome, Dan, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, and thanks for letting me be a part of the program. It's a joy.
I really like what you've done in this book. You mentioned some of the content. You've written this book titled Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. So again, I appreciate that you're helping us see the many dimensions of forgiveness. What prompted you to write the book?
There are facets, that's what we call them, or different sides to forgiveness. Not different forgivenesses, but just different ways for us to picture how has God forgiven us. And I really encourage people to say, all right, forgiveness is God cleaning us, or he covers us. And it's far away. It's fixed in place. It's many, many words of God. It's one word. And there's more to that gift as you unfold it as time goes on.
In the book, you have this wonderful metaphor of God's forgiveness. You say it's like an engagement ring that God gives us. And thank you for that. I use that in the message today. Another image you use in the book is that of a cube. And you even suggest that the reader might take this up as a wood project. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I lived for 12 years in Butternut, Wisconsin, as far north as you can get, basically, in Wisconsin. Wood everywhere. That's what we did. And I was a woodworker and all the more in Butternut. And so it struck me that, because I love wood, that we could make a cube with contrasting sides, of course, and that there would be a distinct wood that goes with each side that I think tells a story. And I hope it works for people who can imagine it. I'm actually holding that cube right now. And it's just, on the one hand, we've got maple. That's clean. It's almost white. Oh, opposite it is black walnut, and it covers by its darkness and its price, by the way. We've got, far away, butternut from Butternut, Wisconsin. Butter, that's what we're named for. But on the other side, cherry. And cherry is rich, and it is deep red. That's a wonderful picture for it's fixed on the cross, which is far away, butternut far away. Red oak does the job for us in two ways. We've got a parquet of five pieces of red oak, like a parquet floor. By the way, that's just like the chapel here at Concordia. There are many pieces. On the other side, one big piece of red oak, just one, and that's our many in one. So for me, it works. And I've heard from leaders, pastors, who have made their own cube. I saw one just a month ago. By the way, it was like three times the size of mine. It was huge. And it made a much better visual image in the service because it was so big. But so I salute those woodworkers who have gone beyond me. And by the way, use your own wood. It's something more creative than mine. Absolutely.
Yeah, my dad is a big woodworker, and I was reading your book over the holidays. And so you inspired me. I've got my six pieces here, but I have to put them together into the cube. So we can maybe talk about that more as we go. I got the black walnut.
Yeah.
Walnut's
yeah.
a very common wood in Missouri, and we instead of butternut, we used some koa wood from Hawaii. Whoa. So that's far away too.
That is far away. Oh my gosh. Now, think about what you said, Mike. For you, black walnut is common. Here, Wisconsin or northern Wisconsin, rare as can be, and oh, the price for walnut. For you, not so much. But
this was actually wonderful. from an old barn door in Missouri my dad had found. So yeah, if you like projects, this is a good way to really engage with your hands and your mind of this image that Dr. Pavla is giving us. Thank you so much for being here and visiting with us, Dr. Pavla.
Thank you.
And again, his book is titled Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. You can get it wherever books are found. And come back and we'll talk more with Dr. Pavla next week.
To hear more of our conversation with Dr. Dan Pavla, go to LutheranHour.org. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ, Baraboo.
Max FM, Gem City Weather. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies for today. West winds and highs in the low 30s. Those clouds stick around tonight. Lower 20s by Monday morning. Clouds in mid-30s on Monday. Look out for some snow. This will be after midnight Monday night, and it will continue into Tuesday. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 800-281-8193. It's 33 at our studios.
WRPQ, Baraboo.
W279EG, Reedsburg.